and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And here we are again.
Yeah.
Are you going to cut that part out from earlier?
What part?
Tentacle dick Superman part?
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, because we didn't start talking. This is...
You should keep the whole thing.
No.
Should keep the whole thing.
No. No. No.
You're no fun.
We could talk about it.
Yeah, but then I got to say everything I already said.
Well, I figured we were just going to address these Superman things.
All right, well, we can talk about it right now.
Well, right. So basically, there's a new picture that came out the week that we were taping this, that of the new Superman.
Yes.
Who's going to be the TV Superman, who's going to be on the Supergirl show.
Yes.
And
the official picture that was released is strange for me because his head looks smushed.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how I felt about it, but then I was on Instagram and a friend of mine had posted a picture of him taken on set where he looks much better and has dead ass, basically. Dat ass. So I was saying that he kind of looks like a Superman that you would see in a porn parody.
Yeah, but I was saying he's going to swing both ways.
Yeah. I think Superman already does. That's my personal thought.
Well, he's into everything.
Well, yeah, I figured.
He's an alien.
Why not? He's an alien.
He's like, I can put it anywhere.
Yeah, but I feel like it's probably like a tentacle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to give you the super squeeze with his tentacle penis.
Yeah.
That's what he calls it.
Rap. My thing about
squeeze.
He's just like, he looks like Kumail Nanjiani to me, though.
I think I would enjoy a Kumail Superman.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think I would. I mean, Kumail's great on, the shows that he's on. I'm blanking on Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see him as Superman. I just feel that we needed more of a Henry Cavill type of man.
Mm.
Or Richard, you know what? Christopher Reeve type of man. Because Christopher Reeve, by far, is the best Superman. Like, if you're looking like what a definitive Superman looks like, it was Christopher Reeve.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, agreed.
You know, Henry Cavill looks great. Brendan Routh.
I thought he was fine.
He's probably the best actor Superman, I think.
What does that mean?
Or maybe, I don't know. There was something about...
He did a good job of trying to carry on Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Yeah,
that was maybe, what he
maybe,
was trying
maybe
to
that's
do.
What I'm trying to get at.
It
I feel
still
like,
weird.
Because that's a movie like the acting isn't terrible.
No, but the story is miserable.
But the story is ass. The
story is a disaster.
But it's one of those movies where it's like
deadbeat dad Superman, and I don't even know what the fuck was going on with Lois Lane.
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, she was basically, you know, aside from
sleeping with Cyclops.
Well, the thing about her
who also was a really great guy in that movie.
Well, James Marsden gets shit on.
He
a lot.
Really does.
I think I want to say that in this movie, in this Superman Return, Superman is if anything is third build. Because I mean, I don't know if it's actually like that, but he is third build because Kevin Spacey is the big star.
Well, yeah.
And Kate Bosworth was much bigger star than Brendan Routh at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though he was Superman.
Yeah.
But you know, I digress.
James Marsden didn't even get billed.
No, he didn't.
Because he constantly gets shit on every single time. It's not like he does a bad job. Like,
he's just an actor.
Well, no, but that's the thing.
But
like,
he's known as playing Cyclops, and Cyclops is one of the shittiest people.
I know, but that's not his fault.
No, I know that, but it's kind of like
a good job.
It's kind of like
Cyclops.
That guy who kind of like what's his fucking I don't Carlos, what's his name on the Flash? I don't know the actor's name, but he plays Vibe.
Oh yeah, Vibe.
You know, and I'm just like, I don't care who you become. You can become. You can go on to win a million Oscars. I'm still going to not like you because you played Vibe, and Vibe sucks. I just do not like Vibe.
Even though he's not terrible in that show.
He's not terrible in that show,
but you just don't like the character
of
Vibe.
But the fact that he plays a person...
A character that you don't like.
That I don't like, that I, you know, I did not like.
You actively despise, I would say.
I don't know why. And the thing is,
you're anti-vibe.
And he's useful in the Lego games because he has, you know, you don't need to use. He has the sonic powers to break Lego glass. You don't need the special Batman suit to do that.
Right.
You can just use Vibe.
But you still don't like
him. But I still don't like him.
Anti-vibe.
But the character, and on the Flash, he's fine. I mean, he's fun. I mean, it's a bit, he's a bit, you know, like, it's a bit hammy.
Well,
the character, but I think that's kind of where.
Kind of the point, though.
I think kind of that's shown that in the first place, the show is kind of hammy.
Oh, yeah, it's campy.
It's campy.
But it's fun.
It's campy, and it's got a lot of heart to it, too.
It does, which I appreciate.
Although I think this season's going to be a fucking mess. I just feel like, considering the previews and stuff like that.
I haven't seen the previews yet. I still want to see Supergirl before it finally comes to CW because I had to make the hard choice of between Supergirl and Gotham.
Well, shit, this one has
Red
Tornado.
And I made the wrong choice by watching Gotham.
I think everybody made the wrong choice with Gotham.
Just nothing but wrong choices.
Yeah.
But it's still coming back.
So, anyways, how are we talking? Oh, we were talking about the Superman.
We're talking about Superman and dicks.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I guess let's get into our books.
Yep.
We need to talk about The Uncanny X-Men. Number 192 from April 1985.
Yep. I would say we don't do a lot of X-Men on this
show.
No,
we don't. We don't, because the X-Men's kind of like Spider-Man, where, you know, we find them to be a bit tedious.
I like the X-Men more than Spider-Man, though.
I agreed.
And I mean, yeah, it's hard for me to read the X-Men because, I mean, I loved the cartoon, obviously, when I was a kid. It was, I'd set my fucking alarm to get out of bed.
Oh, I think every,
it was great.
Cool, you know, nerdy, cool kid.
Yeah. I used all the time. So I don't hate X-Men comics. I just don't go out of my way to find them.
It was one of those ones. Even here's the thing. I love the cartoon. I love the toys. I loved things about them, but I was never like, I need to buy X-Men comics.
Yeah, I never
like,
got
especially because I also came in when I was reading them. I was into it around the time when there was a lot of special covers and spinoffs, and it got really crowded.
Yeah,
and really hard to enjoy because there was so much coming at you at once, and
it gets pretty impenetrable.
It was like because it was like, you know, Age of Apocalypse and Generation X and this thing and that thing, and I was like, you know what, whatever. And I had a bunch of those books, but I just could not get into it. I feel that kind of still carries over today, but
yeah.
So anyway, so Uncanny X-Men number 192 from April 1985. On the cover, we have Rogue. We have Rogue, Nightcrawler, and Colossus.
Yes.
And they are all infected.
Circuity.
They're all infected with techno-organic circuitry because Warlock's father, Magus, has showed up to wreak havoc. You know, Warlock being, not Adam Warlock, but Warlock's Warlock from the New Mutants, who is the techno-organic alien.
Oh, okay.
Who,
that answers. I was thinking we were talking your Warlock.
No, which is funny because
Adam Warlock.
No, it's funny because the Magus and Warlock are, you know, terms that are exclusive to that story as well. But for some reason, they decided to use them here too, which I don't understand why. Just call somebody else. Call him like Circuity McCircuit or something, you know, or Beard
like
McCircuit Monster.
He could be Cowardly Lion made with fucking circuitry because that's
the Cowardly
what he looks
circuit,
like.
Yeah, or something. You know, that's because on the cover you have Magus infecting them, and you know he's, you know, they're all
circuiting.
Covered in circuiting and all that stuff. So, yikes.
Yep.
So in the actual title of the book is Fun and Games. And we have on the cover here, or in the first page, we start with the Colossus. He is yanking
something,
a big old rock with a handle.
Yeah, and I've actually Colossus is one of my, I like Colossus a lot.
I've always enjoyed him.
I like him. I think he's a good character. So I was excited to see him in this book.
I will say real quick, we are reading a Chris Claremont book.
Yeah.
So this is kind of high class for us.
Oh, shit.
This is kind of like,
There's an actual, like, this story has, like, a beginning, middle, and end. And, like,
I know.
People do things that make sense.
We're kind of spoiling ourselves
here. So, yeah, like, it's weird. Like,
we're drinking diet water here, guys.
Water? What the fuck is diet water?
Or whatever. We're drinking Fiji. This is a Fiji water of comics. So he's about to yank off this big stone. He yanks out this big stone, and because I guess apparently him, Nightcrawler, and Rogue, I don't know why they're not training.
I think they just wanted to go outside, because they even say, like, oh, this is more fun than being in the room.
Yeah.
So they're basically all out training. So they're fighting each other.
Yeah.
And Nightcrawler, who apparently is the leader of the X-Men at this point.
At this point,
which
yes.
I was not aware was a thing.
Yeah, well, he's like the field leader.
Yeah. He is beating the fuck out of them, basically.
Yeah, because he's bamfing everywhere.
Yeah, bamf.
He's, bamf. You know, he's causing, you know, he's misdirecting, you know, Colossus.
Yeah, he makes Colossus, like, fall off a cliff into, like, a big lake, and then Rogue comes, and he, like, puts his hands over her eyes so she can't see, and then he drops her in a lake.
Yeah, he gets her in the lake and stuff, and it's, you know, and he's just,
And he's like, haha, that was fun, but, you know, we need to do better, because Professor X will replace us with one of the younger mutants.
Yeah.
So basically, like, being on a team for Professor X is probably like being one of Donald Trump's wives.
Yeah.
Like, you're always worried he's going to replace you with somebody younger.
Yeah, you could be super expendable.
Yeah. So he, like, so Rogue is like, ah, Colossus, we'll get him next time, you know?
Yeah.
And Colossus is having a sad.
He's having a sad, ultimately, because, so, he went away to Secret Wars.
And he met some fortune teller?
So what happens is, in Secret Wars, they go to this planet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they go to Battle World. And at one point, they come across, like, this alien village, whatever, that has been transported there as well, because, like, basically Battle World is just a bunch of different pieces of a world,
right?
Like, at one point, actually it's funny, there's also, like, a town in Colorado that's chunked in there too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how the Spider-Woman and the new Spider-Woman, the new Spider-Man is introduced in that book, Julia Carpenter, as well. Uh-huh. as somebody, Titania or whatever, because they're just a bunch of locals, and they're right. Like, hey, now we got superpowers,
right?
So, but there's a alien village, and there's this girl in there named Zaji or whatever her mm-hmm. name is, and she's a healer. Mm-hmm. She doesn't speak any human dialect,
right?
But she comes to, like, or she gives the impression that she loves Peter mm-hmm. or Colossus, and she also loves Human Torch. Human Torch in that storyline is all about fucking that poor alien girl. And Peter's just like, oh my god, like, he falls for her heart, but Human Torch is like, no, I'm gonna fuck her. You know, like, he is so, like, you know, and Ben just like, you know, and Hulk's like, Hulk, watch too, you know.
Does Human Torch fuck her?
I don't know. I think he does. I think something like, he's, you know, because she's like, alien language, smile. And he's like, oh, yeah, all right, baby, yeah.
Alien dick.
He's like, yeah, you ever see one of these? You know how that is, you know.
You know how one of these works?
You want to see my human crank?
No. Human crank.
Human crank. Anyways, so he's having an issue because Kitty Pryde is coming back.
Right.
His underage girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is coming
good job,
back.
Job, Colossus.
Yeah, Colossus has got some issues.
They all have issues.
Well, it's X-Men.
Colossus is a pedophile. And Human Torch.
She's like, oh no, it's Chris Hansen.
And Human Torch is, I don't know, he's a fucking vibrator. I don't know what his problem is. He's like, I must fuck all the ladies.
Yeah. So he's upset because, you know, Kitty's coming back from,
somewhere,
Japan with,
oh, that's right. With Wolverine.
Wolverine. Cause they just had a mini series together.
Yeah.
And so cause Wolverine goes to Japan and does, like, you know,
Wolverine's always over there. doing Wolverine.
Yeah, he's
things.
Smoking cigars. He's being stupid.
He's been Wolverine.
Being Wolverine, and then she's going back, and he's like, "Oh, I should have. You know, I didn't want to see her. You know,
right?
Because
like,
they went to go pick her up.
Right? Professor X and Storm went to the airport to go get her.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, you could have gone with her." He's like, "I have caused her so much pain.
Meh. Whatevs." So he they're bullshitting, and then for some reason,
I don't know, Nightcrawler starts like bothering Rogue and like tickling her, and so she absorbed Carol Danvers.
She absorbed Carol Danvers' memories, and she also absorbed some sort of psionic abilities that Carol has, and so she's had. So she's trying to like,
they're trying to figure out if she actually has that ability. It's yeah. like her seventh sense or something.
Yeah, and she's trying like with the cosmic awareness. That's what Captain Marvel had too,
right?
And I feel like I'm probably getting a bunch of this wrong, but she's probably, you know, she's kind of like trying to like come, you know, maybe try to help Colossus, you know, think about stuff.
Yeah, because that's what she said. She's like, "Well, I'm not very good at relationships, but maybe Carol Danvers can give you a hand." Yeah. And then Nightcrawler's like, "Yeah, but what about that sense?" And she's like, I don't have it if it's in there. And then so Nightcrawler's trying to like get it out of her by like tickling her, and she slaps him into a wall.
Well, she's tickling her, and it's like creepy because like him like bamfing all around her and like grabbing her.
Yeah, it's really gross.
It's really gross, and she hits him. I think he doesn't hit the wall. I think she saves him because she realizes how hard she hits him.
Right.
And she's like, "Oh my god, I'm probably could have killed him."
Right. And she's like, "Oh, I could have killed you." And then he's like, "Oh, fair maiden, would you kiss me?" And then she like obviously freaks out
because she's Rogue and she can't touch anything with
right.
her skin.
And so she drops him in the lake, and he's like, "Oh, I'm so stupid. Like, I shouldn't have done that." And you're like, "Yeah, really? You should have fucking thought of that first." He's like, "Now I feel bad because, you know, she can't fuck and she must feel bad about it." And I'm like, "Yeah, she does feel bad about it. But like, here's my question."
Mm-hmm.
Rogue obviously cannot have any skin to skin human contact.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that. But there's nothing else. There's like no way that she could still enjoy pleasure without that.
Well, yeah. I mean, she totally should.
Right.
She can use a device.
Right. I mean, like, she could get with a guy. He could use a toy. She could give him a hand job wearing a silk glove. Like, what the hell? Like, you could still do these things.
Silky.
But apparently it's just no, because there's no skin.
Well, it's also it's not Marvel. It's like they're sitting there.
Marvel's not thinking about it.
It's like, Marvel in the 80s isn't like drawing panels of fucking Nightcrawler and Colossus being like, "She could use a dildo."
Well, I know, but that's always been like the thing with Rogue is they're always like, she can never touch anybody, so she's always miserably alone and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you never met one guy who was like, "Hey, I know we can't skin to skin touch, but I've got an idea." Like, nobody ever, there's nothing like that.
No, they're
and
all
the time that Gambit tried to fuck her, he never thought of that.
No. He's not a good ladies man.
Apparently nobody who writes for Marvel is.
Marvel knows how to please a woman.
I mean, they're like, "Oh, sex is only penis and vagina, therefore she can never have it. She must be sad." Let's not do anything, any other possibilities.
They have a big sign that just says, donut and hot dog, yes.
It's just that sausage party movie.
Yeah.
Which, that's a nightmare.
Yeah. I think, what was it, last week you shared the trailer with me?
I did. Because
it's been out for a while, but yeah. I just haven't paid attention to it.
I hadn't either, and then I saw it, and I was like, I can't be the only one to see this.
I think I said this to you. I said, if we go see that movie, I will be screaming the entire time. Because, holy fuck.
We will not be seeing that movie. It's horrifying.
It's a terrifying premise.
Yes.
That your food comes alive and has eyes and mouths and brains.
And dicks,
and
apparently.
Dicks,
wants to have sex.
And they want
to
fuck and they want to talk. And I'm like, ah.
And then they're horrified by the fact that they're going to be eaten.
And this is the thing that there's no, like, oh my god.
It's not okay. None of it's okay.
Look, I was okay with the Food Fighters back in the 80s. I was okay with that. I had the toys. I had Corporal Corn Dog and whatever.
Well,
toys.
I have no problem if you want to have anthropomorphic food. Right. I have a problem when you have anthropomorphic food And then you, on top of that, you put anthropomorphic food that fucks. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's stupid, but I'll go with it. But then on top of that, you put anthropomorphic food that fucks and now has to save its life from being eaten by humans. That's where I get real fucked up.
The only food.
Because now I'm supposed to feel empathy for the very food that I am supposed to eat.
The only food that I'm okay with sentiently fucking is Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs. He's an established crime lord who is who's also made of pizza.
Yes, he is. He's Pizza the Hut.
I am okay with that. Other than that, fucking leave it alone.
Only Pizza the Hut, the Sean Merrick story. So Rogue apparently has like gone off to some abandoned mansion and they're like, oh, we shouldn't go there. But then all of a sudden some big like meteor comes crashing down.
Mm.
And then we cut to Professor X and Rogue in the airport.
No, not Rogue.
Not Rogue. I'm sorry. And Storm. Storm having a mohawk, which I have to say is my favorite Storm.
Yeah. She doesn't have her powers though right now.
No, she has no powers, but she looks fucking badass.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like waiting for the plane, which I guess is delayed. But while they're doing that, Professor X is like listening into people's stray thoughts and writing them down in a notebook.
Because apparently, because he does teach a course and like probably like mutant. I think he teaches a course in mutant studies in like Columbia or whatever.
Yeah, but like that's really fucked up.
Columbia University. Yeah. And he's,
this is where I start really realizing how screwed up his powers are.
Yeah.
And how fucking dangerous they are.
Yeah.
Because he's always presented as on a side of good, but this is not a good thing to be doing. Even if it's for research.
Even for research, and it's
a completely against the scientific method. It's against how research should be done.
And it's apparently a very xenophobic airport, because literally, like,
everyone's thinking about how terrified they are of mutants.
Terrified of the mutants, but nobody's like thinking about, like, man, that Cinnabon is really expensive.
Right, like, oh, nobody's, man, like, that Cinnabon smells good.
Cinnabon smells good, but Jesus Christ, $5? Fuck that.
Right, like, no one's thinking like that, like, oh, Jesus, I really want to go get Starbucks, but the line. I don't know if I'm going to get through the line before I'm supposed to board. It's like, one's thinking about
that. I
don't
like being rushed because I got to take my belt off and I got to put it back on.
Right.
Oh, I think my pants fell down. Look, everybody can see my dick.
Well, this was the 80s. You could walk up to the gate then at any time. Like, yeah, they're sitting at the gate.
There wasn't a threat.
they're sitting at the gate of the airport waiting for her. Because I remember when my dad used to take us through. That was
back
his,
in the 80s. Back in the 80s, you could just walk right out on the tarmac. You just get on any plane you wanted.
Yeah.
That's how it was.
Because the only time you had to start showing your ticket was when
you could really run on a plane. There was an episode. I remember, actually, there's a scene in the movie. I remember this from the movie. I think it's the Woman in Red, where Gene Wilder, the plane is already just about closed its door. I think closed its door. And but the stairs are still leading up to it.
Oh, okay.
And he's late for this plane, but he runs onto the tarmac and up the stairs and starts pounding on the airplane door.
Yeah.
And then they let him in and they're just like, okay, sir, here you go. Here's your seat.
Right? Yeah.
You can't do that.
No.
Ever again.
No, never, ever again. It will never be like that again. Because I remember my dad loves planes. You know, he flies sometimes for hobby. And like, so anytime anybody would come to visit us, he would make sure we were at the fucking airport like 4 hours early because he wanted to just sit in the airport and watch the planes come in. And we would go all the way down to the gate and we would just sit. And he'd be like, oh, look at that plane, girls. Oh, look, it's a DC-10. Oh, it's a blah, blah, blah. And we would just sit there and watch all the planes come in until who or whatever relative was coming to visit would get off the plane and we'd be right there to meet them.
Oh, man.
Can't do that anymore.
No.
No.
No, you have to find one of those spots on.
Yeah. But also, you're right. There should be more, instead of just people being like, I'm so terrified of mutants, somebody should be thinking like, oh, you know, I hate flying. You know, I hope my mom is going to be okay. Like, they're going to go see their sick mom. They're going to go see someone's new baby.
Well, there's a few, because there's a few of those thoughts, but I'm like,
yeah,
how come
nobody's thinking... of it's just, like, terrified, fear, how come, scared,
how come,
scared,
how come
scared.
Nobody's 1985 movies is like, I really want to fuck Simon Le Bon.
Like, nothing of that. No one's, like,
what happened
along.
To Bo Derek, you know? Whatever. Just, you know, like, a lot of 80s thoughts.
Yeah, no one's thinking 80s
Michael
thoughts.
Jackson, he's a good singer.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, no one's thinking 80s thoughts.
My Atari's on the fritz.
Right. They're just all terrified. This is pre-Fox News.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, yeah. So, they're just sitting there. And then, like, I guess Colossus's sister...
Ileana.
Is there. Magic. And she has a dragon.
It's Lockheed.
He's very cute.
That is... fuck, what's her name? That's Kitty's dragon. Kitty Pryde's dragon.
I didn't know she had a dragon.
Oh, she has a dragon. Yeah, the dragon hangs out with her and stuff. And it goes.
Is it small? Is it like a corgi?
Yeah, it's like a corgi dragon.
Oh.
And it goes like, snort.
That's adorable.
And it flies around and she, and it, you know, sometimes it breathes fire, but most of the time it's adorable.
Yes. That's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think it's a corgi dragon. I love corgi.
Imagine a corgi, but also imagine a dragon.
I like that. A corgi with wings. Oh, that's so cute. I love corgis. I love corgis to the point where one time we were driving down the street and Sean was driving and someone was walking their corgi. I was in the passenger seat and someone was walking their corgi across the street on the sidewalk. And I saw it. And I went, oh, shit. And I like pointed at it. And I started yelling. And Sean thought like we were about to die.
There was an accident about to happen or something,
no,
and you're like,
just,
oh, shit. And I'm like, what?
Was,
like, oh, it's a corgi. I'm like, oh,
it's a corgi.
Okay, I'm glad.
So I can't control my reactions of corgis.
Are, yeah.
I get really excited. There's one in our neighborhood, and sometimes he'll walk by, and I like feel like a creep because I stand at the window and just stare at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So, corgi dragon. And so
Corgi Dragon,
like,
she's, you know, she's wearing a Buckaroo Banzai hat for
yeah,
some reason.
Yeah, and she's just like, don't let the professor see you.
Yeah. And then,
even though the professor should know since he's reading everybody's fucking thoughts because he's a creep.
Yeah, he's like, oh, there's a dragon here. Oh, it's one of my friends. Okay.
And then we cut to...
This is Rachel Summers. This
who
is...
looks like Annie Lennox.
Yeah. Well, it's the 80s.
In the Sweet Dreams video, basically.
Yeah.
That's exactly what she looks like. Except she has a little bit of a mullet. So
sweet bullets are made of this.
She is, yeah, looking out the window, thinking about things.
She's thinking about, she's from the future.
Yeah.
And basically, like, I think.
This is hard to explain for me.
She is Phoenix. She's Scott and Jean. Okay, and I'm probably fucking this up. It's Scott and Jean Grey's kid from the future if Jean Grey lived.
Okay.
Right. And
so
she's
like an alternate timeline.
She's
almost.
Basically an alternate timeline. I don't even want to get into this because
it's so confusing. So it's because like,
basically like Kitty Pryde is.
Well, yeah. So here's what happens. She's sitting there. She's staring out the window and all of a sudden she has a flashback, but
yeah.
It's also a flash forward because
yeah.
It's a memory thing. And she's dressed like this character called Hound who has been brainwashed to hunt down all the mutants so they can be killed. But then Kitty Pryde is there and Kitty Pryde is older
mm-hmm.
and she's like her surrogate mom.
Yeah.
And so Kitty Pryde's like talking to her and she's like, we're going to go like do this thing. And then I don't even know what the fuck happens right there.
I have a question. What's going on in this picture, just drawing here? Cause it looks like she has very extended earlobes. Do you see this?
Yeah. She was stretching her earlobes before it was cool. I think it's just a coloring error.
Well, I know. It's just, yeah, it's just fucked up. But like, it looks like her ears are super gauged.
Yeah, they're super gauged. And like, so.
And so she's so hurt.
So she's having this thing and she's like, no, you know, we're trapped.
She's
blah,
having,
blah,
basically
blah,
having
blah.
A, yeah.
And she's like, I'm not leaving you. And then Kitty Pryde says, Dark Phoenix. And then she comes to with the current Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, I just got off an airplane. And everybody hugs.
Yeah, and they recognize each other at one point, and then everybody's excited. You know, Wolverine's dressed like Hoss Bonaventure.
Yes.
You know, he's like, I got to Japan. I'm Hoss Bonaventure. And then there's Lockheed, see?
Oh.
Like,
that's not weird.
No. But then we get to, so then.
We're back with
yeah,
Colossus
we got,
and
yeah.
all them.
So Colossus and Nightcrawler investigate, and then they come to where, you know, after where this big, like explosion was, they see all these animals and trees and stuff like that covered in this techno-organic matter. Because basically what they've come to understand is, because they're aware of Morlock, and they're like, oh, geez, this is how like his species eats. This is right. what this looks like. And maybe, you know, they already kind of are putting two together about his father. Because they kind of know his story is basically he escaped, you know, it's like to come. There's a
It's a thing. Alien, blah, blah, blah.
And Rogue comes to, because she flew into this building and then it just exploded. And now she's like.
Because that's pretty much where what's his face? That guy.
Magus landed. And then she's like.
She's like, I have to get away. And he's like, no.
And he's like, and he finds out that he knows, you know, they know Warlock and everything.
Right. And so.
And she starts like trying to rip him and stuff. Yeah,
she's trying to fight him. And then Colossus and Nightcrawler show up. And shit's going down and people are fighting. And then Rogue gets the idea. Oh, not yet. There's still more fighting. Fight.
Well, actually, it was something where Nightcrawler, what he does is, so basically Magus grabs. Grabs Colossus and starts like ascending with him, and what?
Choose your own adventure.
Oh man, is that a Flash Gordon look like?
I don't know. There's a choose your own adventure ad in this book, and I here's my quick story about choose your own adventure. I once was given a novel that was a choose your own adventure novel. I was not told what a choose your own adventure was. I didn't know it was a thing. So I just read it from cover to cover because that's what I did. And I did not have any idea what the fuck was going on. And then, well, maybe I didn't read it from cover to cover. Maybe I read a big chunk of it. And then I was like, wait. And then I finally realized what it was and how to work it. And every single time I read it, I would always get eaten by a giant spider. Regardless of the choices I made, I always ended up on that page.
Eating.
Getting eaten by a giant spider in a cave.
Dead.
So I'm not good at it.
Anyway. I'm not good at books.
No, I suck at books, guys.
So basically, Nightcrawler grabs the anchored part of Magus, and he like bamps away with it because he can take things with him, and that really messes with Magus, and thankfully drops Colossus before he can revert back to human form.
Right,
and then Rogue gets this idea. She's like, well, look, maybe I can stop him by absorbing him or something. And she like runs up and flies up and kisses him.
Right.
And it makes her all techno-organic-y.
Yeah.
But it also...
it doesn't seem to really do much to him, though.
Well, it knocks him... Yeah, it kind of not... It doesn't do much to him, but it kind of makes... You know, it stops him.
Right, for now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop him permanently.
Yeah.
And then he's like... You know, they get out of the mansion and he's like, you fools, watch me blow it up. And so it burns.
Yeah.
So then they call in reinforcements. So this is when Storm and everybody else shows up. And this is, again, when we get to see Professor X just being fucking creepy with his power.
Oh, what's he doing here?
So they're here looking at all this stuff, being like, what's going on? And so all of a sudden, here comes a flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So...
It's a cop.
And Professor X is like, don't worry, I'm making him see us in civilian clothing.
I'm making him making Wolverine look like Cosmod Adventure.
Right. Which that alone would be fine. But not only does he do that, he's like, I'm making him believe our story, and then once we're gone, he'll forget this completely. That's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have just done one. He could have seen the X-Men and you could have made him forget it completely. But he has to go through these like three different levels of fucking with this dude's head.
Yeah.
And I was just like really uncomfortable with that. I'm like, oh, that's not okay at
all.
Or
you could just, or what you could have did was just mask yourself.
Yeah, just make him not see you at all.
Because you do that all the time, Chuck.
Right. Like, what the fuck? Like, you really had to like fuck with this guy. And then this guy, when he walks away, he's like, man, I don't know why I even drove up here.
Like, what's going on? Yeah.
Like, I thought I left this at the bottom of the hill. Like, something's wrong, but I'm not sure. So obviously, this guy's very disoriented.
Yeah.
He gets back in his car, and that's when he doesn't realize that something happens to him. I'm assuming he gets techno-eaten.
Yeah, he gets techno-eaten.
So
he's eaten by the beats.
Good job. And then that's when he's like...
By Magus, by the way.
Magus is just like, oh, well, I guess I should disguise myself as a human and try to go find my kid. And so then we cut to Professor X, who is walking.
Oh, wait.
I don't know why he is not in a wheelchair. So I must have missed something where he's
not... Was he walking earlier?
I don't remember. So is he not paralyzed at this particular point in time?
No, yeah, that's right. That's, at one point, he wasn't... Yeah, because I think around Secret Wars, and I know she knows this, but... Yeah, he was able to walk.
Okay.
And then he has to back down.
And he's like a professor at Columbia, obviously. He's a very smart man. So he's like, oh, you know, walking. He's like, I love doing this. I'm so happy. It's nice to get out. I love talking to
peoples.
So great to be among normals. He doesn't say that, but, you know. And so, obviously, there's a bunch of students from his class who are like, die, mutant. And then they throw a rock at him, and they literally beat the fuck out of him.
What he tries to do
is
he tries to freeze them mentally,
he misses one of them.
Yeah, he misses one of them, and they throw a rock at him, and then they beat the shit out of him.
And they really beat the shit out of him. Like, it's pretty brutal. Like, there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And then as he's laying on the street bleeding, somebody grabs him and, like, drags him in, and there's, like, just puddles of blood everywhere.
How is he not dead? I don't know.
He should, actually, this beating should have probably killed him. And then there's, like, a car. It's, like, snowing. And there's a card that says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that's it. That's the end of this. End of the book.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it for X-Men, Uncanny X-Men number 192 from April 1985. Would you read the next issue of this?
Oh, yeah, I probably would.
I probably would, too.
I don't know if I'd seek it out, but I'd read it.
Yeah, I'm not 100% like, oh, man, if I see this, I'm going to read the next one.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, this is a coherent story. It has, you know, shit makes sense in it.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but I mean, at the same time, I don't know. I'm so bored by X-Men sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but, and I know this should be engaging.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, heart and thoughts
and there's
corgi dragons and there's, you know, tickling and stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of fun things in here.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
No.
That's it.
No.
But yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I'd probably read it again.
Yeah, sure.
I like finding out what goes on. On the back, actually, we have an ad for Star Comics.
Mm-hmm, with Strawberry Shortcake.
Strawberry Shortcake. And Planet Terry, who has returned to the Marvel Universe.
What are those called again?
Ewoks.
Is that an Ewok?
It's an Ewok.
Oh. For some reason, I thought it was another little, like, fuzzy thing. There's Heathcliff.
Heathcliff, yep.
Strawberry Shortcake. Whoever the fuck that is. That guy.
Shirt Tales. Do you remember Shirt Tales?
No. Fraggle Rock.
You don't remember Shirt Tales?
No, but it says here, Muppet Babies and Fraggle Rock, which I remember both of those. I don't remember Planet Terry either.
Wait, is that Shirt Tales? Wait, I thought it was Shirt Tales. I have no fucking idea. Get on. It's a moose.
Moose with the sweater.
All right. Well, that's it for that X-Men. That's how that goes.
So we'll be back with another book.
Yes.
Okay.
After this.
Hey, what up, peeps? It's Jessie Mae Peluso here to tell you about my podcast, The Sharp Tongue, heard each week right here on the Sideshow Network. Every episode is a slice of my life as a touring comedian, and I'm bringing you my favorite funny and interesting friends to talk about whatever is on our minds. I talk about road stories, I talk about horror movies, music, putting fingers in buttholes. Everything you ever want to talk about is right here. It's A Sharp Tongue with me, Jessie Mae Peluso, every week on iTunes and the Sideshow Network. Download, rate, and subscribe, and tell a friend to check us out, because we need validation. And by we, I mean me. I'm alone here in the studio.
All right, we're back here in our worst collection ever here on Sideshow Network with our second book of the show. And it is of a man who is a big star now.
Okay.
It's Aquaman Volume 3, Number 5 from January 1995. Yeah, January 1995. It is the Peter David run that everybody loves. Mm-hmm. I think I'm finding that not people either really love this, because if you read Wizard magazine back in the 90s, like I did, Peter David could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Between the Hulk and this, mm-hmm. he was the fucking king. But I feel like maybe in hindsight, I don't think everybody loved it as much. So maybe because the big reason why I've talked about this a little bit, but you know, the big reason why I really got back into comics in the past couple of years is because of a show that I discovered called the Fire and Water Podcast. And it is the guy, it is the Irredeemable Shag, who's really into Firestorm, and it is Rob Kelly, who's really into Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And they talk a lot about DC and all this other comic book stuff. I mean, it's diverse, but they primarily focus on Aquaman and Firestorm, you know, on their, you know, their content. And, you know, I remember, I mean, I do hear him talk about these things, you know, about the, these particular runs and all this stuff. And I get this impression that he wasn't a big fan.
Mm.
So,
all right.
But we are going to talk about Aquaman. We feel like we've kind of,
We've neglected him.
He is going to be a big star. He's going to be drinking whiskey in Justice League.
Justice League trailer came out, or the footage at Comic-Con a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's where, after Aquaman slams Bruce Wayne against a wall, Bruce Wayne goes, "I hear you can talk to fish," and then gives him a look that they look like they're going to make out. Like, it looks like Bruce is just like, yeah.
"You want to see my electric eel?
Here you can talk to fish." Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, then he gives him this look, and you're just like,
What if it was, sweet. It would be great if it was like, yes. "I hear you can talk to fish," and all he did was talk to Abe Vigoda as fish.
Abe Vigoda's dead now.
Well, I know, it sucks Abe Vigoda's dead, because that joke would be much, much better if you left. He just shows up like, "Yeah, I can talk to fish. Hey, Abe," he's like,
maybe he's going to take him to talk to Fish Mooney from Gotham.
Oh, shit, Fish Mooney. That's right, she's back.
He's the only one that
she's having people make grilled cheese sandwiches for her.
That's right. Bake me a grilled cheese.
What happened to her at the end of that season? I can't remember. Is she hanging out with Tommy Wiseau, Bruce? Or?
No, she drove the bus.
She drove the bus with the monsters. With the literal monsters.
Literal monsters.
Oh my God, there's monsters.
That's right. They're literal monsters. And that's when Jim Gordon was like, "You guys can handle it," runs away.
That's right. What a fucking asshole.
Like, this is literally, Jim's like, "I have to save the city. I have to save the city." Like, "Jim, this is the worst thing the city's ever faced." He's like, "Y'all are fine. Run away.
Forget that, ho."
That's right. I don't remember what happened after she drove the bus. I know she crashed.
She crashed the bus. I mean,
and Penguin found out she was still alive, and everybody ran away.
Yeah.
Did she just walk away?
Probably.
Yeah. She must have just walked away. Okay.
Anyway, so Aquaman, we can go on, but Aquaman's talking to Fish Mooney, and yeah, I mean, and actually, I love that trailer part of that trailer, because he walks in and like Batman's like basically like Jesus Christ, do you not have any sort of like subterfuge or something? Like, he's walking in, it's like, "I'm Batman, where's Aquaman?" You know, just,
I know, that's what I that's what made me laugh, because as much as I thought the footage to this was much more interesting,
yeah,
so I'm like, all right, doesn't look too bad, every guy he goes to talk to be like, "Will you please join my group, like come join my club," he goes as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And not, it's fine if he goes to meet the Flash, because you're like, all right, it's just one dude sitting in like a hideout, very well dressed, fine. But he goes as a highly recognizable Bruce Wayne, who has been in Turkish Air commercials, who has his fucking face plastered across all forms of media across the world.
Yeah.
And he goes as Bruce Wayne to go find Aquaman. So when Aquaman shows up in a little group a couple months later, don't you think people are going to put two and two together on who the fuck came looking for him?
No, because it's just
the one guy wearing a mask.
Jesus.
And well, I think Flash has one too, but like, seriously, like, he's pretty much one of the only guys wearing a mask.
Also in that trailer, nothing of him going up to Cyborg and being like, "Yep. Hey, Cyborg, I heard you're a robot. You want to hang out?" He's like, "I guess, you know, I'm a robot. I can't really do much else."
Yeah.
So the zoo robot things, like, "Oh, let's go fight things."
Yeah.
But me and Wonder Woman are sitting here playing fucking Sim City. Just
I'm cracking jokes, guys. I got jokes now.
Guys, I've been doing a tight five. I'm gonna do that Arctic open mic that Superman runs.
Yeah.
I took it over, guys. I'm gonna be the host.
So
I'm booking. Yeah, so that looks like it's gonna be fun. And so Aquaman's in there drinking whiskey.
Yeah, that's right. Look, glowering
and like standing in water, and it's like, oh man.
Yeah, he's like, look at me, I'm fucking Aquaman.
He's gonna be so fucking manly.
Yeah, the manliest.
The manliest. So, anyways, so Aquaman number 5, January 1995. On the cover, Aquaman is fighting a bunch of tentacles.
It's hentai.
It is essentially hentai.
Pretty much. There's tentacles everywhere.
He is slicing one. He is
being held up by another.
He's having a party.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off and we're
in Alaska.
Alaska.
And there is,
what's this guy's name?
I don't remember this guy's name.
Is that Keiko? That's
no,
girl,
that's the lady's name. I don't remember his name. So he is standing like on an iceberg. And
yeah.
He was like, leave my village and my family alone. I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden a bunch of tentacles come up and grab him.
Because it's hentai porn.
And he
But gets, it's called Out Cold. This is the name of the story.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, fuck you. And he gets pulled under the water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then we
cut to Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. So we're back at Pearl Harbor and Aquaman kicks open a door.
Yeah.
Cause he wants to talk to some general who's sitting behind a desk, and it's Aquaman, Aqualad, and whatever the fuck that chick's name is.
Dolphin.
She wears jean shorts.
Oh, she's been.
She swims in denim shorts.
Dolphin
is she a never nude? Is that why she's wearing those shorts? Because that is their uniform.
There are dozens of us.
So they kick open the door.
No, I'm just thinking about never nude.
I'm assuming she's a never nude. So they kick open the door.
That's a good one.
And he's like, what the fuck's wrong with you, Aquaman, this guy? And he's like,
I don't know why he's, I don't know what's going on. What he's,
I don't understand. He's like, you know, he's looking for Admiral Storm, but there is no Admiral Storm here. And this guy behind the desk is not him. And Aquaman's like, but we flooded this base yesterday. And he's like, I don't know. Like, and this is what's weird. The general's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There's no flood. There was no Admiral Storm.
You broke my door. What the fuck?
You broke my door. Go away because you're no longer a king. So you don't have diplomatic immunity and we'll arrest you.
Yeah, I know. He's throwing his. Because also at this point, he has the harpoon.
Right.
He just got the harpoon.
Right.
Because so, he got the harpoon. He got his arm bit off a couple issues back, and now he's got a harpoon.
And since I don't know exactly what Aquaman wanted, I still don't know. And so they go away and they hitch a ride back to Aqua City.
Atlantis. Aqua City.
Sure, whatever. On the back of a whale.
It's only a continent.
It's not a continent.
Yes, it is.
Atlantis is a continent.
Atlantis was a continent of the sea.
Was a continent. It's not a continent.
Well, it's still a continent.
No, not anymore. It's sunk. Now it's on the bottom of the ocean.
What is it now?
Ocean floor.
Okay.
I thought continents could technically only be above land.
Says who?
Science, I think. I have to, you know what? I have to go back to look at the definition of what could be a continent. Because I don't think the ocean floor counts.
Okay, whatever.
Because then everything is a continent.
All the world's a continent.
Anyway, so Aquaman is having a brood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, there's more answers, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to find him, but now I have to find my father.
Yeah.
So then we cut back to Alaska, and there's this woman, Keiko.
Yeah, who's, what's this fucking guy's name?
She said
Koryak.
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 And she's just like, oh, he must be dead.
Because they're like Eskimos. And
yeah. I'm so sad. My son is now dead because he got eaten by hentai porn. But he wasn't. He lives. And she's like, oh my God, you're alive. I'm so happy. And so he's like, here, I brought you a tentacle.
Because this is what's been killing us. And
this is what's killing our village. And he's like, I think it's because of me. Like, I think all of this is my fault.
Yeah.
And then the alarm goes off and he's like, oh, stay here, Mom. And she's like, no problem.
Yeah.
I'm not coming with you because I don't want to get eaten.
Because I'm not.
By tentacles.
Yeah.
So then we cut to what apparently is the Aqua Cave.
Oh, it's his sexy cave.
And
he has a, it's a special, it's like just a place where he goes and it's like,
yeah,
and it's warm, like, water. And
yeah.
She, you know, and he's got Dolphin with her.
And Dolphin's just like, I'm never nude. And so she comes out of the sea to like his little cave where he's reading a book.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, hey, Aquaman. And he's like,
brood, brood, brood.
He's like, why are you still here? Like,
yeah, he's kind of like, because what's he?
He's a total dick to her. And she's like, oh, you know, here, there's time for other stuff. And they start kissing because she wants to have sex.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure how you have sex through denim shorts, but.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was another dude, you know?
Yeah, who knows? So
kind of issue.
As they're kissing, like, he goes to like grab her, but he forgets he has a harpoon and he stabs her in the arm. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, it's okay. And he's like, I don't even know you, man. He's having a bruise.
Yeah, no, he's like, woman, I don't even know you.
Yeah, he gets something. All pissy. He's acting like a dick.
Yeah.
He is the Batman of the underwater world.
Yeah.
He's acting like a dick.
So then, okay, so what the fuck is Garth doing? What is his thing? He's
Aqualad goes to talk to some guy with weird hair.
He talks to he's what's his name here? I know his name. I read these things, you know.
I know. I don't know. He goes to talk to this guy, and he wants to find out what's going on.
He's an important name because he's a Volko.
Yeah.
So Volko is apparently going to be the villain in when Aquaman comes out or whenever he is. He's, I think Willem Dafoe is playing him.
Okay.
So that's, yeah. Anyways.
So he's like telling him a story about how like there were a bunch of people who like believed in magic and they ran off from Atlantis to like go form their own civilization and like raise the dead.
Right. And he's also wondering, well, maybe they raised Tula, Aqua Girl, who died during Crisis.
Like, right.
Way back.
So then and then Aqualad like comes to talk to Aquaman.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go to a funeral or something.
Yeah, they have to go to a funeral, which, oh shit, I wonder whose funeral that is. It's got to be a JLA member.
Sure. So then we, as they're talking about that, we cut to the Alaskan village where that octopus is just killing all the people.
Yeah, it's going crazy.
Yeah.
And everybody's fighting it and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And so,
but then the Koryak comes in and he jumps in and he's like,
I'll save us. So he like jumps in the water.
Well, something where he's like even kind of doubting himself.
Yeah.
Where he's like, cause he's like, I'm going to go and save him. And he's like, yeah, very dramatic. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So then we're back in Atlantis where Aquaman is staring at a picture of his mother. And he's like, I got to go find my father because my father knocked up a pregnant, an Earth woman. But I always thought it was the other way around.
Well, hang on here. Let me see. Your mother, is your dad, those chronicles say your dad's centuries old. Why do you want to track him down? Because he's haunted me. He got my mother pregnant and abandoned her. Okay, but how are you going to find him? His last known whereabouts were in Alaska. And it looks like Ocean Master. I thought Ocean Master was his brother.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Because I always thought that it was his father was just like a regular guy.
His father was a land guy and he had sex with a mermaid.
Right.
Or a late, you know, sea lady.
And so who the fuck's that guy?
I don't know. That looks like Ocean Master to me.
I don't know.
Because,
yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Because that's what I always thought his origin was like. His dad was just like manning a lighthouse and he met a mermaid. They had the sex. And that's why you have Aquaman.
So they go off to Alaska, whatever. And then back in Alaska, the Koryak jumps out with a bunch of dead bodies.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I couldn't save them. And then people are like really mad at his mom because his mom shows up. And they're like, we know about you. It'd be better if you just left.
Yeah.
So
Just a lot of switching back and forth here.
There's a lot of switching. Now we're back in like a car, like an underwater car, because Aqualad was like, I'm going to go figure out what's going on with those magic people.
Yeah.
Dolphin, do you want to come? And she's like,
nah.
No, I want to fuck Aquaman and his weird harpoon. Even though he stabbed me and he hates me and he has no desire to hang out with me, I'm just going to make myself a nuisance and follow him around.
Why is he letting her?
I don't know. And I don't know why she's putting up with it. Like, I don't know why she's not like, I'm out. I'm going to bounce. I'm going to go hang out with Aqualad and play with this cool gun that just blew a hole in a wall. That's way more fun.
He's like, I'll go play with guns.
Broody pain in the ass Aquaman.
And Aquaman's driving like a water car.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, I don't want to swim all the time.
Yeah, I get to drive a car too.
I have an Atlantis water driver's license.
And so Aqualad's like putting on a uniform or whatever, and he almost kills a guy. And so then we finally get to Alaska, and Aquaman surfaces in his car, and he's like, hey, fisherman, I'm looking for this person. And this is where you get to see Aquaman with his harpoon and his, like, you know, pants. But this is what I didn't understand. He's got, like, a metal arm brace.
Yeah, that's like his armor or whatever.
But it's only on one arm, and it's on the arm that has his hand. It would make more sense if this was where his harpoon... This is how his harpoon was...
I don't know the physics of that.
Would be snapped to his body.
Right.
But... So it should be flipped. So this is what he puts on when he needs to wear his harpoon hand.
I guess. I don't know. I don't quite understand his outfit. So
it doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's like just like literally like a sleeve and then like it's just like two straps. Like it's right. Really dumb looking.
So they get out and they're like, hey, fishermen people that we're seeing here, we need to like not look like a bunch of maniacs.
But she's wearing jean shorts and a parka. So obviously.
Well, she kind of looks like, you know, like a human.
Well, she looks like a human, but she's wearing jean shorts and it's freezing.
And everybody it's in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah. So.
And Aquaman just has a floofy hood.
Yeah. So he's like, he looks like Captain Cold.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey.
But he's got his little spike sticking out of his hand.
Yeah. They're like, we're looking for Keiko. And they're like, oh, it's this way. So he knocks on the door. He's like, hello. I am Aquaman.
Hello.
I am looking for Keiko. And so he walks in, he's like, oh, is she here? And he's like, so you're Aquaman? He's like, yeah. And he's like, you son of a bitch. And they start fighting.
Yeah.
So, what's that guy's Koryak. They start fighting. So they start punching and fighting and fighting and punching. And he's like, oh, you're a good boy, but I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Why do you want to fight me? Punch, 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 punch. So as they're fighting, Keiko finally shows up and she's like, Arthur?
Well, and as he's fighting and she's like, what? It's like, Arthur? And he's like.
It's like, what the fuck's wrong with this kid? Why is he trying to?
Because you keep out, I owe him. And Arthur's like, he owes me. Who is this little bastard? And then the woman starts laughing.
Right.
And she's like, it's like, that's so funny because he's your son.
Yeah, because like literally the fight stops. And it's like, why are you laughing? It's like, because he's your son. Dun, dun, dun. Aquaman has a son.
My son. Doing it for my son.
Aquaman's son.
He's going to go on Chopped and create
Does that guy ever show up again? Is he, like, important in any way?
You know, I didn't do enough research as to see if he's actually a dude. I think that this is a whole development and stuff like that. But as far as I know, yeah, I don't think anything really...
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter because it's, you know, it's DC. It's probably already been erased.
I'm sure.
I'm certain.
I'm sure that guy probably doesn't exist.
He's probably
continuity anywhere.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Or
maybe it was revealed that it wasn't his son. You know, they probably retconned it already or figured out a way to get out of it. Yeah. So, but yeah, Aquaman having a kid.
Yep.
Having a son, and hanging out with never nudes. Whatever. Jesus, I don't know. Aquaman.
So that's Aquaman.
Aquaman number 5 from volume 3 from January 1995. Would you read the next issue of this book?
I mean, I'm not going to look for it, but if I was given it, yeah, I'd probably read it.
I'm not.
You don't want to know what happens with Aquaman, his wandering dick, and his...
Do not care.
And his never nude friends.
I just need to go back and get some history from... the wiki about these guys and just figure out because that's all I need. I don't need to read about the further adventures of Aquaman and Eskimo's son.
Mm.
I do not care.
Yeah,
I do not.
Enough.
I'm bored.
Yeah. I hate random children in books, too. Yeah. So.
Well, he's not like a little kid. He's not like,
I know, at least he's an adult. But
he's a grown badass. Yeah.
I just hate
that. I will say that. He's a grown badass. And,
he's a grown badass.
He's actually a much more engaging character than the other people in this book. than Aquaman himself, as far as I'm concerned.
Aquaman himself just is like such an asshole, and he just broods his way through this book.
But then there's stuff that I'm like, I don't even know what the hell's going on, because he's like yelling at, I mean, granted, I'm not reading this in order. We're just reading this randomly, but it's like, he's yelling at this guy, he's yelling at, he's bitching at Aqua Girl, or Dolphin.
Aqualad and Dolphin. And it's kind of one of those things, the same thing happens with Batman, where they're so terrible to everybody around them, and yet everybody just hangs out with them. Nobody says fuck you and walks away.
Bag of farts.
Which they should, because no one should be treated this way. I don't care what kind of powers you have. I don't care what kind of money you have. You don't get to be an asshole all the time.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason.
Yeah, just give me Aquaman.
Like, go to fucking therapy and stop bothering me. Like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
So.
It's
but I'm brooding and complicated. Oh, I still want to have sex with you, even though you treat me terribly.
Yeah, this is actually,
that's what it is.
This is, to be honest, this is super 90s.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if we're going down the, if we're like, oh well, this is indicative of the 90s. Like, it totally is, because you got a brooding hero who everybody loves, who people love, and he's like, but I'm so tough. Oh,
But I've got complicated problems.
I got long hair and a beard now.
Yeah, also a half sleeve shirt thing.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean,
this definitely, this sort of situation will definitely revitalize the character.
Yeah.
Like, cause I remember, again, reading Wizard Magazine, it was always like the joke about Aquaman. He's just some guy in an orange sweater that talks to fish.
Right.
But, this was very different and very unique, and, it made it, it drew a lot of interest to the character and sustained itself pretty good for a couple of years, until they probably just did something else with it.
But yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for Aquaman, and that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with another books and another comments and all the stuff we do here. I'm hungry.
Okay. We can go get some food.
I know. I'm thinking about food. So thanks for listening. Please check us out on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. That's my Instagram as well, Angry Hero Sean. Also, the Tumblr for me is theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And of course, SideshowNetwork.tv is where you can get all of our shows. Please go to iTunes for our show, Weirdest Collection Ever, and rate, subscribe, leave a review. Tell a friend, give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. Be cool and have fun with the podcast and with podcasts in general. So that's my PSA for today.
Good job, babe.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.